Hello and welcome in to all of our friends out there, new and old. You are listening to the Hippies and Cowboys podcast. My name is Garrett McKee, and your co-host, Mike Hart, will be joining us in just a few minutes. We are the Hippies and Cowboys podcast. We are bringing you the best of the country music world like nobody else will tell it. Sure hope everybody's doing all right out there, staying healthy. Enjoying the first 10 or 11 days here of 2021. Happy New Year to all of you. Got some exciting news for everybody. Our website has officially launched, so you can head on over to thehippiesandcowboys.com. There you will find things such as the podcast, obviously, some curated playlists that we've been putting together for Apple and Spotify. I'm still trying to fuck around and get the Apple links to work properly, but everything is available on Apple and Spotify right now. If you just search our profile, you'll be able to find the playlists. There's some great stuff there. I highly recommend you go check it out. On top of that, we got some new merch in the store. We have a real store for you to actually buy stuff from on that website now. There's a blog, which is going to have a lot of exciting stuff coming up. We got everybody's excited about that and kind of pitching in. Everybody from who's helping us out, everybody on our team. And yeah, that's kind of our little home base now, so you should go check that out. As I always say, if you're new, welcome. Welcome to our little community, our little corner of the country music world. And you should go give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's where you guys can join the conversation, jump in, be a part of the community. Everyone is welcome. And if you want some access to exclusive content, bonus podcasts, Patreon-only merch, and things like that, opportunities to ask questions to our guests, you need to go and subscribe to our Patreon. And I didn't plug this one in the last episode, but we are trying to direct some traffic to our YouTube channel. We've been shooting some sessions with some great artists. We got some really good-looking videos over there. And coming soon, all of our podcasts will be available on YouTube as well, so you can actually watch what's going on. But I think that's about it. Let's jump in. Our guest on the podcast today is Josh Merritt. Josh is from Owensboro, Kentucky. He released his debut full-length album titled Reynolds Station late November of 2020, snuck that one in there at the end of the year, and it is a great record. I highly recommend you guys go and give the whole thing a listen. You'll hear three songs off of that one on the podcast today, but you need to go dive in further. Josh also will be playing Red Barn Radio on Wednesday, January 13th, 2021, and if you're listening to this podcast before then, you should definitely tune into that and keep your eyes peeled for when it drops on YouTube and all that other fun stuff. So let's kick this episode off with Live With That. Once again, Josh Merritt, Reynolds Station from 2020. Enjoy the show, everyone. Don't you want to get live with that? We'll put the money in a big old stack. Well, it's no doubt money make a man act funny and say that that's a matter of fact. To the queen of the trap, F 32 behind these stacks. Well, the clock struck one and we were rolling in funds, but you gotta keep your head on track. Now get back. I said, young sister Jenny sure came home. Granny said, we got to get together at 5. She said, I got enough cash for a 1,000-mile dash. Get your ass in the car, let's drive. See, the money they gave me to try to help save me, I think that we can double again. So with 15 grand and a broken right hand, hit the go past the pedal, let's spin. Get live with that. We'll put the money in a big old stack. There's no doubt money make a man act funny and say that that's a matter of fact. We'll go from Romy to the queen of the trap. Rip 32 behind these stacks. Well, the clock struck one and we were rolling in funds, but you gotta keep your head on track. Now the plan was a win, so we did it again, but we thought we'd be doing better. But the powder she was buying and the nose that she's supplying keeping everybody under the weather. Then the habit got worse and it left us no choice. We were doing what we got on credit. Now that's a dangerous feeling when the people who were dealing are the ones ending up indebted. So don't you wanna
in a big old stack. There's no doubt money make a man act funny and say that that's a matter of fact. Go from me to the queen of the trap, 532 behind these stacks. Well, the clock struck one and we were rolling the funds, but you gotta keep your head on track. Now get back, whoa! Put the money in a big old stack. There's no doubt money make a man act funny and say that's a matter of fact. Go call me to the queen of the trap, 532 behind these stacks. Well, the clock struck one and we were rolling the funds, but you gotta keep your head on track. Now get back. Stack. Well, there's no doubt money make a man act funny and say that that's a matter of fact. Well, go roll me to the queen of the trap, 532 behind these stacks. Well, the clock struck one and we were rolling in funds, but you gotta keep your head on track. Now get back.
Right, that was Live With That from Josh Merritt, his album from 2020. I have to say that's last year now. It sounds weird, but last year's album, Reynolds Station. And Josh is joining us on the show today, and we're very happy to have him on. He's out of Owensboro?
Owensboro? Owensboro Kentucky, is where we say it down here in Kentucky. Owensboro.
With Kentucky towns, man, it's like, no matter how I say it,
it's going to be wrong.
Someone from Kentucky, it's going to be wrong.
Yeah, right, so. Right. It's weird, yeah. Man.
We got because like, I might as well not even try.
We got the lesson about like the difference between like Versailles or Versailles, and everybody like, no, it's Versailles, and I'm like, well, but like it's French, like it's Versailles.
It's clearly
like,
French. Yeah.
But anyway, it's Versailles. I'm not saying it's not, but
Owensboro's kind of weird, man,
but
because we're right on the Kentucky Indiana border, and
right.
So it's really weird, man, and the Ohio River divides that. So if you go south of the Ohio River where I'm at, you get a lot more of a southern dialect. But it's weird. Mm-hmm. You go right over the river into Indiana, and it's still southern, but it's got a little bit more of a northern dialect in it. It's strange how that river makes such a difference, man. A couple miles and people talk different right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know that. My roommate's from probably a half hour north of however you pronounce the name of your city.
Owensboro, yeah.
But he's in Indiana, and yeah, he sounds nothing like you do.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's so close. I mean, he's got like a, it's a different accent, but it's not as thick for sure.
I know exactly what you mean, man.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, welcome in.
Thank you guys for having me on, man. I really do appreciate y'all having me on. I love the podcast, so.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Well,
thanks for being here.
We like your new album, and I'm glad I found out about you through Jonathan, who I don't know if people listening know, but y'all, we were just talking, you guys went to the same high school.
Yeah, so we sure that's did. Cool.
Jonathan Meme Man, for those who don't pick up on who I'm talking about, we're talking about Meme Man, he went to high school with, so.
I love his page,
man. We know we're sitting
man.
Here with a good fella.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Dude, isn't his page so awesome, man? He's so creative, man. So great. I love it. He's been he's been great to me since the album came out, and he's shared a lot of my stuff and kind of helped me share some of his audience a little bit, man. And he, like you said, he hooked me up with you guys, so I definitely want to thank him for that.
Yeah, we would like to thank him also because
for sure.
Super cool. So the I don't know. Just how you doing? I guess we can talk about all about the album here in a minute, but I guess how's life been?
It's good.
How's 2021 treating you? It's been a couple days now.
It's good.
Do you feel different? 2020's over?
A little bit. I think everybody, you know, as far as everybody around me is, we really played up to, you know, the new start for 2021, including myself, man, and I'm praying to the Lord this year's a little better than the last one, but you know, I don't know how it's going to be going into it. It may be we may still have some hills to climb. I don't know, you know, hopefully not, but
we shall find out.
I'm ready to get back after it for sure.
As we were talking about, I mean, it's been what, October, is that when the album officially came out?
November 20th,
or am I way off on that? November.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, it might have been a single I was thinking of in October. So,
yeah.
Garrett's been having all sorts of technical difficulties.
That's all right, man.
That's the opposite of ignoring.
I love that we're videoing this one. It's going to go on YouTube because you'll see me like duck under the table and then come back up like this.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a good podcast though. Technical difficulties.
I had to plug my laptop in. I seen it. I was like, oh, shit, it's almost going to die. That would be no good.
Oh,
that's happened before.
Yeah, that's no.
Has it? What do you do?
What
do you do? Do you start over or do you just kind of jump back in?
No, it fucking amazingly, like, I caught it, like, as soon as it died. Like, my computer kind of, like, does this thing where it, like, will give you, like, 5 seconds after the screen goes black to, like, turn it back on. And amazingly, it kept recording. So,
all right on, man.
Yeah, we survived through that.
I remember that happening. I can't remember who we had on, but
I think it was like somebody, like, it was somebody we weren't talking to on FaceTime. It was like a phone call. So then I was like, all of a sudden, I was just like, oh shit. And then I went down and like grabbed my cord, and everybody's like, well, what the fuck's going on? Nobody could like see what I was doing. So it was like, just
it could have been like a Chris Knight.
No, I think it was Charlie Crockett, honestly.
Charlie Crockett was a phone call.
Because he was like, we were all on the phone call, and we dropped that phone call a few times, and it was like, that was a fuck around. Then my laptop died. Yeah, that was tough. We had to work for that one.
I didn't see you guys had Chris Knight on, man. He's another hero of mine.
He's a man.
Yeah, that one surprised the shit out of us, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. For sure.
Yeah. He was fucking squirrel hunting during the interview. Yeah. Like out in the woods.
Sounds right, man.
Yeah.
I love Chris Knight, perfect. Man. I wasn't playing at it, but I got invited to come down to this deal called Clearwater Festival. It's down kind of the western tip of Providence, Kentucky. And he was playing at it. And like I said, I kind of got invited by the people that were putting it on just to come hang out and stuff. And I got to meet him while he was doing kind of this meet and greet type deal. I wasn't meeting him in the meet and greet, but God, he's funny, man. He was... he was loose, man.
He's good.
He was really rough and ready. Oh yeah, he was great. He was so nice. I asked him before he went on. There's... I said, man, can you play Becky's Bible for me? And he said, yeah, we play that one about every show. And just walked off. This dude's a G, man. I swear.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about your album.
Anyways, we got off on a crazy tangent there. We're just about to talk about the album. Yeah, we're just about
end
to
of
do
2020
that. And somehow
snuck in there.
Oh yeah.
I think that's when I started crawling around on the floor, so it's my fault.
No, it's all good.
So,
man.
Just over a month or so, I guess. How's the reception been on it?
It's been great, man. I couldn't have asked for anything any better. Like I said, it was a concept album. It took me 3 years to get it done because I recorded it and released it independently myself, and we recorded it down in Nashville at a place called The Compound. A good friend of mine named Shannon Lawson produced it, and we recorded it at his studio. And the deal was, I mean, his setup and the way he was running things is about as legit as it gets. But I could not afford as legit as it gets to pay all at once. So the way we did it is we chopped it up over several sessions and over several years, and I kind of paid as I went to mm-hmm. record this record. It was the only way that I could do it. And it took us a little while, man, but it came out just like I wanted it to, man. I couldn't be happier with it.
Wow. So what are you looking at for like a timeline on that? Like you said, several years you kind of went in and recorded in pieces. Like about how long, like... Give us a timeline of that.
2017, I think we started it. So like, wow. February of 2017. So yeah, about 3 years. It was, you know, it's definitely, if I could go back, it's not the way I would pick to do it. You know, it got very stressful because, I mean, you can imagine how much things change in 3 years, you know, for myself mm-hmm. and for Shannon. He moved his studio twice, and then I ended up actually at the end of the whole thing. Zach Kasich, that was our engineer for the album, opened his own studio, and Shannon was in the process of moving his. So I ended up finishing it at a Wild Feather studio in Nashville. So definitely doing it over the course of 3 years like that, it runs into a lot of stuff like that, man. But it was, you know, it was the only option that I had, and I chose to do it that way to get the quality out of it, you know, and I'm glad I did.
Were any of the songs, did you, over that like long time period, like did you have to go back and like, you know, rework any? Because I mean, songs for everybody, I'm sure, like kind of change and get better or different over time. So is that something you kind of found yourself doing, or
to an extent? But it kind of, that's one of the downsides to it as well, thankfully going into it, we had a good base, you know, going into it, to where it was, you know, all the stuff we recorded in the beginning was pretty solid, but because we didn't have the option to go back and change a lot. You know, if you start changing things right in the beginning, it can change the whole functionality of the song and stuff. So the thing I did get into is I recorded the vocals pretty well near the end, but not all the way toward the end. And that was one thing, is there was like a 9-month gap between when we recorded the vocals and two sessions that we had after that. And I ended up at the end of that year, that last year or whatever, I didn't like the vocals and wanted to go and re-record those. So I had a little bit of freedom there, but most of it was, you know, most of it, we were stuck with what we had. I was married to those. I've been married to these songs for a very long time, man. I was really glad to get it out for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, that what I was going to say earlier is that's got to be stressful to, you know, spend that much, like spend the money that it takes in a recording studio and record some songs and then just sit on it until the next session and then do it again and then just sit on it and not get to put it out. Like, I can't imagine. I mean, just thinking about that would be stressful for me. Like, if I do something, I want to just like get it the fuck out, you know? Like,
yeah,
have to,
man,
sit,
yeah,
and have patience, like holy buckets.
It really was. That was probably one of the toughest parts, because I'm playing and touring and traveling and you know, wanting to do all that material while I'm out playing in that 3 years, you know. And I tried really hard not to play that material, you know, out. And I wanted it to be new when it came out, you know, and we did a pretty good job. I'm glad I did now, because I've got all this material to go out and play on that's all still fresh to me, and I'm not completely burnt out on it or anything, you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a cool Yeah. Cool silver lining. Yeah. Now you mentioned Zach Kasich was the audio engineer on the album, and you were telling us before we kind of hopped on here that he was what, Brent Cobb's roommate at some point during the recording of the album. That's kind of a cool little backstory there.
But. I don't know if it was exactly during the album, but like they, I think they lived out in L.A. together when Brent Cobb moved to L.A. You know, he was talking about.
Oh,
that's where they lived together
for Dave. Yeah,
right, right. And that's they both lived out there together, if I'm not mistaken. And then I think they kind of all came to Nashville at the same time. Yeah, but yeah, Zach Kasich, man, he was a huge part of me finishing the album and stuff. And man, his resume goes all over the place, man. But he was engineer on Jamie Johnson's That Lonesome Sound. You know, Jamie Johnson's big first record.
Wow.
And he's got a bunch of credits to his name, man. And I was definitely blessed to get to work with him. I hate name dropping, but like we got a bunch of great artist on the record too, man. Peter Keys from Lynyrd Skynyrd, it's Lynyrd Skynyrd's keyboard player, plays the keys on there, and Robert Kearns from Sheryl Crow's band played bass on the record, and it was really? A blessing for sure. Yeah, it was a blessing for sure to get to work with some of those guys. Robert Kearns from Sheryl Crow, Shaky Foles, he did the drums on the Rock and Roll Jesus record for Kid Rock. Yeah, and he did the drums for it. Mm. So we had like an all-star cast, man.
No
and
shit.
A lot of that was, yeah, man. A lot of that was Shannon Lawson. Like I said, Shannon Lawson, he produced the record, and he hooked a lot of that up. Hooked a lot of that up for me, man.
Yeah, I was going to ask how that came to be.
Yeah, it's Shannon. Like I said, they're all really good friends of Shannon, and you guys can check out Shannon Lawson if you're not familiar with him, but he's a been a huge songwriter in Nashville for years, but was signed to MCA Records, I think, in the early 2000s, had a record deal and stuff. He wrote Big and Rich's Baby When I Look at You. Baby When I Look at You, them baby blues cutting right through me.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was a number one for him. Yeah, the mid-2000s, I think it was, but... yeah, Shannon was, it was great to work with him. I met Shannon probably, 10 years ago, I guess. One of my best friends in the world, who's in a guy that's also from here in Owensboro, Andy Brasher, was in a band, called Brasher Bogue that was touring and doing some really cool stuff. A mutual friend of ours had this cancer foundation that they had started called Strong as Jamie, my friend Bob Bradley. And Bob was wanting to record this song for the foundation, and Brasher Bogue agreed to do it. Well, Shannon actually offered his studio up for free to record this song and that they were doing for this cancer foundation. Anyway, I got to come down and be a part of that, Anyway, I met Shannon and all those guys there, and it wasn't too long after that that I decided that's where I wanted to record this record at, you know.
The album has, like, I mean, through the first and, like, fourth and fifth times I've listened to it now, like, something that I always keep, like, coming back to in my mind is, like, how, like, diverse the sounds are on the record. Like, you know, song to song, there's sometimes drastically different sounds.
For sure.
Even, you know, as you work through the record. So, like, I guess I assume that's probably a product of the fact that you were working with so many different people that come from these different backgrounds, kind of musically, I'd imagine.
Right.
Probably had something to do with it. But would you say, you know, I guess what would you say kind of to speak on that? And I guess, like, would it have anything to do with the fact, I guess, that it is your debut studio record? Like, are you still trying to kind of find a sound that, like, really works for you and you really want to stick with, or are you just like, are you the type of person who really likes to not put yourself in a box and just kind of create as you please, regardless of what may fit together as far as, like, a cohesive sound per se?
Yeah, I think it's all those things, to be honest, man. I mean, I wrote all the songs pretty much, besides one or two, I wrote them all together to be on the record, but I did want a diverse sound. I listen and play live a lot of different types of music, you know, and try to incorporate a little bit of everything into my sound. But yeah, it was my first record, man. We were filling it out and just kind of doing whatever came natural in the studio. We really tried not to to make too much of a direction. We just tried to let the songs kind of do what they did as we recorded them, you know. And they did. Right. There's a little bit of everything on there for sure.
Yeah. That's why, like,
yeah,
I liked, I mean, sometimes the word, like, Americana is kind of, like, kind of a fucked up term in the sense of, like, sometimes stuff, like, will sound really country, or it'll sound really, like, rootsy, or really kind of rock and roll, and it all gets put under this fucking, like, blanket statement of Americana.
It's but crazy, like, man. It's,
I
like it too, man. Yeah, if you go to, like, you know, an Americana, like I use, like Apple Music or whatever. And if you go to the Americana, playlists on there and stuff, it's everything, man. It's everything from, like, you know, Americana to me is like roots music of each genre, you know? So you get like very classic blues sound, but they're new songs, you know, and, very classic blues stuff, very classic, more bluegrass stuff even, you know, more of a classic country sound. So it is, man. And I don't know, maybe this record touched on a little bit of all of it. I hope it did, you know, cause
that's kind of where I was going with that is like the fact that, like, sometimes that is confusing for people to try to, you know, say they don't really understand what Americana is. Like,
right.
When I listen to Reynolds Station, I was like, this is, like, to me, what Americana is. It borrows from all these different genres and, you know, uses little bits of each one to kind of make this. It's Americana. That's what I think it is. That's like definition, man, of it anyway.
Well, that's a huge compliment to me, man. That's all the stuff I love, man. That's what I listen to and jam, and, you know, so that's exactly the way I would want it to be received, you know.
Awesome. I'm gonna stray away from. Oh, man, there's a delay. I was gonna talk about, so Garrett, he's talking about the sound and the how the sound's so diverse on the album, but you mentioned it's a concept album, and I kind of want to talk a bit about the songwriting, and it's from what I understand, a pretty personal album with the songwriting, and like you said, it's a concept album, so a diversity in the sound, but kind of the realness and behind all the songs and the concepts behind all the songs, a lot more similar. So I don't know if you want to talk about kind of the overall project. You said you wrote them all with the intent to go on the same album. So if you want to kind of talk about that a little bit, for those who maybe haven't listened through it all the way, because that's a really cool thing about the album and something that's important and stands out.
Yeah, for sure, man. The album, kind of the vein or the concept that runs through it, I wrote them, I kind of based them all, the first song that I wrote that I figured out, like, wow, I think I want to do like a concept record or have them all together, was the song The High that's on there, and that song is about substance abuse, and it's about somebody that's going through the depths of the downside, the backside, the dark side of substance abuse, you know, which is something that I have a lot of experience with. When I was younger, my mom, she had a severe substance abuse problem, and to the point that me and my younger brother got taken away from her when I was around 8 years old. Like, social services came in and sent us to live with our dads or whatever. So that's kind of what the time frame of my life that this album is loosely based on is. There was about 3 years in there where things got really dark, and this album kind of focuses on that story and time that my family went through.
How has that kind of felt now? Like, you know, you sit, it's one thing to sit down and write the songs and record them. Nobody's heard them yet. now that it's out kind of into the world, has that, you know, what's that been like, you know, putting, I guess, kind of putting yourself out there in that sense and sharing your stories and these feelings that you've experienced through the form of a song, you know, for all to be a part of and hear.
For sure. It's been awesome, man. The feedback that I've got has been great. Above everything, when I recorded it, I mean, I wanted to make a good record for myself and something that I could be proud of for sure. But overall, my main objective is I wanted somebody to be able to listen to it and just be able to say, wow, I know what he's talking about. I wanted somebody to know that I wrote pretty specific and pretty dark and try not to be too loose with it, because I wanted somebody to be like, wow, man, like I thought I was the only one that ever seen any crazy stuff like that before or felt like that before, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what I got. I've got a lot of people that's messaged me, you know, on my social media accounts. People from all over have messaged me and said, wow, man, you have no idea. I'm going through this right now. These songs are helping me out of this really dark pit that I'm in and stuff. And to me, that's as good as it gets, man. That's exactly what I wanted for these songs, is for them to be received by people and to help people in some sense, you know? So it's been great.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Awesome. That's very meaningful, I'm sure. It's always cool when an album that, usually personal albums about, you know, regardless the topic, if you're singing about something so personal, there's always a way that it helps a lot of people going through the similar stuff. I think that's what's so cool about albums like that. That's cool. But
you know, my big thing too was
yeah, I'll go for it. Sorry.
My big thing too was I didn't necessarily want it to be an album where it was like maybe somebody that was on drugs or going through addiction or just going through a hard time. I didn't want it to be like one of these albums that mm-hmm. was like, hey, you need to get your stuff together type thing. You know what I mean? I didn't want it to be necessarily received like that. I just wanted somebody to be able to listen to it and be able to relate to it, very, very deeply relate to it and say, wow, and maybe not feel so bad about what they're going through. Maybe if they're going through some dark stuff, or maybe have done some dark stuff, you know, or been mm-hmm. a part of some dark stuff due to the addiction they're in. I wanted somebody to be able to listen to it and be like, wow, okay, I'm not the only one, obviously, that's done this. And, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel if that should be their choice, you know.
Right.
It's weird, during the 3 years that I was recording this, something else that happened is I'll be 2 years sober myself at January 15th, so here in a week or so, which is really neat. And that's not something I did on... Thank you very much. It's not something I did on purpose. It's just something that happened during the course of, you know, of the last few years and stuff, and I'm awful proud of that. But it's cool to have mm-hmm. that under my belt as I'm putting this out too, you know what I mean? I can actually... stand up and relate to it myself at this point and offer some feedback on it. So
mm-hmm. And speak on that light at the end of the tunnel, like you said.
Yeah, man. No, for sure. It's you know, it's that you're never stuck in anything, you know what I mean? You're never stuck where you're mm-hmm. at. You're never it's never too late, you know. And
right.
And even if you're just sitting in your bad time, you know what I'm saying? It's okay. It's okay. Like I said, I just wanted somebody to not feel alone more than anything, in whatever situation they're going to. I didn't, you know, it's so easy. And I've known a lot of people that's gone through drug addiction with, the big stuff, the hard stuff. I've had a lot of friends go through, a lot of family go through it and stuff. And one of the things that happens, mm-hmm. I think, when you get down in there deep, is that you start to push everybody away, and your habits in general might push everybody away. And it's very easy to feel alone during that time. It's very easy to think that people don't care about you anymore and stuff. So I wanted, especially songs like The High and stuff, I wanted somebody to be able to listen to that and... you know, feel like they weren't the only person that had been, you know, in that dark place. Maybe offer some relief.
Right. This might be a pretty good time to segue into the second song, which I know kind of embodies a lot of what the album's about and a lot of what we've been talking about. But the second song is How Many Times? And yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about that before you play it.
Yeah,
but definitely one that encompasses that central theme of the album, for sure.
Yeah, man. I wrote this one. This is one of the songs on the album that I wrote from a very personal place as far as an adult going through some of the stuff that's on here, you know what I mean? And I knew that it fit mm-hmm. into the puzzle of the story that I was trying to tell from back in the day, but I wrote this one a pretty first person, man. I wrote it about a friend of mine that had been over, and we'd been doing some things that we shouldn't have been doing at the time, and or that I thought we shouldn't have been doing in retrospect, and yeah, that's what it's about, man. It's about being kind of in that pit of man, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And how long am I gonna do it? You know. So that's what this song's about.
On that note, this is How Many Times from Josh Merritt's Reynolds Station. Enjoy.
Well, is there any action I can take? Bring you to my world. Sometimes I stop and buy some time. This old lonely girl, she sells it by the ounces. Well, and the weight is always light. If I have enough, chances are that I won't sleep tonight. So I put some on the table and I dress up for the town. Well, I pull myself a rail and then I take the first one down. I can always find some time. I've got her number in my phone. But time ain't the kind you wanna do alone. And how many times can I fall down on my knees? Well, I'm fucking high, feeling dry. I've watched the whole world pass me by. I'm floating like a barrel, and I'm praying like a saint. And how many times can I be what I am? But if there ever was a reason that I should keep off to myself, then I'd like for you to tell me why you'd set me on your shelf. And what kind of darkened magic, or really is it that you use? Well, you make me want to scratch my face. You make me have to choose. And I've never wanted anything the way I've wanted you. Well, if believing is the puzzle piece, but your attention is the glue. And just before I limp away and reconcile the pain, will you swoop in like a cloud and make it rain? How many times can I fall down on my knees and cry? Well, I'm fucking high, feeling dry. I've watched the whole world pass me by. And I'm floating like a barrel, and I'm praying like a saint. And how many times can I be what I am? Times, well, can I fall down on my knees and cry? Well, I'm fucking high and feeling dry. I've watched the whole world pass me by, and I'm floating like a barrel, and I'm praying like a saint. And how many times can I be what I am? And how many times can I be what I am?
Close enough. We got the first clap. That's all right.
Yeah.
We did it. That one's not as important. Yeah, you just heard, I think, well, welcome back in.
I think that's the issue. For whatever reason, I feel like Josh is hearing us delayed. hearing and seeing us delayed.
I feel like that's what's happening. What I'm seeing, it's you. So it might be just around the circle, one person's feeling it, but like,
maybe.
Yeah, because like when we did the clap, yours was about 3 seconds later, but you know who
mine
knows,
was?
Right? And then you're saying that mine is, so maybe it's our link or something. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how it works.
You guys are both pretty clear for me. Like, I have really, really good Wi-Fi here, but like both of you guys are like, your voice and like your movements are pretty bang on, but I don't know.
Yeah, the video looks great.
Yeah,
for
it does here
like,
too.
The sound.
Yeah.
Right. Weird.
Okay.
Huh.
Well, anyway, we're back in the podcast. Now you guys know if we've been interrupting each other the whole time. I'm going to leave that in there so they know.
Yeah, there you go.
We've been interrupting each other. It's because we got a little bit of a delay going on here on the Zoom call. So, sorry, I guess. I'm not really that sorry. But you just heard How Many Times by Josh Merritt. Once again, that's off 2020's Reynolds Station. And you guys had some pretty good reception to that song in particular from American Songwriter.
Yeah, man.
That ought to have been pretty cool.
American Songwriter did a piece on it. Yeah, it was great, man. I've been reading American Songwriter since I was a little boy, man. That's where I literally where I always my dad had a subscription to the magazine, so it was cool for me. It was my kind of first big press release, so it meant a lot to me for sure.
That's really cool. It's a long time to be reading American Songwriter. About what age, like, did you kind of pick up music and kind of start to try to take it really seriously, you know?
I started playing music around 8 or 9 years old. My dad's one of 14 kids, and comes from a big bluegrass family down here in Kentucky. So I grew up with that going on, man. Like, my dad plays fiddle, and he played music in different bands and stuff around here, my family, my whole family plays music in some fashion. So like on the weekends, a lot of the times we would go over to like my uncle's place, and he'd have these big bluegrass jam outs and stuff. And that's where I first started to play music, was probably over there. I played all the way through.
God bless Kentucky.
Hell yeah, man. We've had a good run this past couple years, man. We've had some hitters come out of here, baby. It's been pretty cool. It's been nice to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. See Childers and Sturgill and Chris Stapleton. Yeah, it's from out here.
Yeah, I just still think that's my theory as to why is what you're talking about. It's like that shit doesn't happen in other states.
Right.
Like everybody in my family plays bluegrass, and we'd go over to my uncle's house and have a bluegrass jam session. Like, that shit doesn't happen other places. Like,
I didn't know that. You know, it's weird, but I didn't know that. I thought everybody did that, you know. I really did, you know. So I didn't understand how cool it was until I got much older, you know, and for a long time I just assumed everybody did that kind of thing, but
it'd be cool.
The world,
yeah,
the world would be a better place.
I think so.
Yeah, the world would be a better place.
I think so too. But yeah, I started playing. I had like garage bands through high school and stuff, and then probably about the time I turned 21, I started taking it pretty serious, and I'd go out to like open mics and stuff in town, my good friend Andy Brasher, he took care of me when I was first coming out, and he was like, man, you're pretty good, you know, and you ought to run with this, and that kind of gave me the confidence to pursue it a little bit more, man. And I guess I played around my region for a few years, and then I worked in heating and air from the time I was 18 to the time I was about 24. I did like heating and air conditioning work, and when I was 24 I made the decision to jump full-time into music, and I've been playing music full-time ever since.
Very cool. I'm kind of curious, did you ever play around with any other genres, Or did you kind of stick with the same style of music?
Man, when I was, I'm a big hip hop head. Man, I've always loved hip hop, believe it or not. And I love everything though, man. Yeah, I played in like a cover, like an alt rock band when I was like a freshman in high school. We used to do some music that makes me cringe now, but I loved back then, man. We used to do like Three Doors Down and Papa Roach. Nice. And yeah, man. I can't even listen to some of that stuff now, but I love it, man.
You can't listen to it at all, or you can't listen to videos of you playing it?
Me playing it. No, yeah, me playing it. Yeah, that's the main thing, man.
So there are videos out there of you playing?
Yeah, where would we find said videos?
They're not on the interweb, that's for sure. But I'm sure they'll make their way out. Yeah, I'm sure they'll make their way out someday.
We'll have to ask Jonathan.
Right.
Yeah, he's probably got him.
Right. There'll be some memes.
Calling all folks in Owensboro, Kentucky who graduated with Josh. We need to see these videos.
Oh, they're out there, man. They're out there. And then there's some stuff. And then I did some, like in high school, man, I went through this phase where I was really into hip hop, man. And I thought, man, I'm going to be a rapper. And it was horrible. It wasn't a great choice. I mean, I was pretty good at it, but it definitely wasn't for me, man. And a lot of adolescence there, you know.
Yeah.
So we can't expect a hip hop record.
Hold on.
Maybe point. you never know, man. I'd do it. I love hip hop, but
I'm gonna give you three words, and then you're gonna freestyle. We're gonna go aluminum, mayonnaise, and broom.
Wait, what are we doing now? Say it one more time.
You're going to freestyle, and you have to include those three words.
Oh, my Lord. Oh,
go.
Give me the words one more time.
aluminum, mayonnaise, and broom.
It's a terrible combination.
aluminum mayonnaise on my broom. Hippies and cowboys on the Zoom. Sign me up, baby.
Yeah. Okay.
Sign me up.
That's great.
I was just joking.
That's about the most in, like, we're about to do rapid fires, but that's probably the most on the spot we've ever put somebody on the show.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
Rapid fires. I feel regardless. Bad.
I love it, man.
why don't we do those rapid fires here?
Shall
right
we?
Now?
Yeah.
Are you ready? I think you're ready.
He's warmed
that.
Up now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're more than warmed up now. if you owned a boat, what would you name it?
Oh, man. Probably Wilma Faye after my great aunt. Yeah, she meant a lot to me, and yeah. That's the first name that comes to mind.
Great. Right. Sweet.
There are seven wonders of the world. What would your eighth wonder be?
Mine personally is my daughter, man. She saved my life, so I don't know other than that. Yeah, I'd say my daughter for me personally.
That's a very fair answer. Great answer.
Bacon or sausage with your eggs?
Oh, sausage. I'm a sausage guy.
Sausage guy.
Tennessee nice. Pride, hot.
If you were a superhero, if you were a superhero, what would your catchphrase be?
Watch him, boys. That's what I say. Watch him, boys. Watch him, boys. Here I come.
There you go. I can picture it like big cartoon letters, like popping up on the screen.
I've said that my whole life. I used to break horses when I was younger, and this old farmer we used to go break horses for. You'd get on this these wild, untamed horses, you know, to break them. And mm-hmm. you get on her, you go, watch him, boys, watch him, boys, watch him. So
we need to Photoshop life. Some kind of a superhero meme. Well, we'll yeah. put Jonathan on that Photoshop yeah. superhero comic book with Josh's face.
How would you spell it?
Watching
boys. It's got to be H-E-E-M.
Yeah, W-A-T.
Yeah, watching. All one word.
C-H-E-M-B-O-Z. Balls.
Okay.
Got that written down?
Write it down. Take it to the bank.
Mm-hmm. For no reason.
There you go. All right. Let's add, I'll ask a music one. What's your favorite song to cover?
Oh, man. Probably Poncho and Lefty. Towns Van Zandt. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, if I had to pick one, I love that very song. If I had to pick a second, I'm going to give you a second just because I want to. Would probably be...
Bonus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. would probably be... I Wish You All the Best by John Prine. Or All the Best by John Prine, yeah. I love that song. Probably one of my favorite songs.
Another really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. When you were growing up, who was your big celebrity crush?
Ooh. Mila Kunis.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Woo! Lordy. Love that dark complexion, man. Dark hair. She's sexier than socks on a rooster.
That should be the catchphrase. Sexier than socks on a rooster. I'm writing that down too.
Got a lot of good. We got a lot of good funny. Sound bites for this episode.
I'll never live it down. No, I'm just kidding.
That's great. Hopefully it draws a lot of the right kind of
not
attention.
Until those high school videos yeah. have come up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it, right? He made it. That was fast.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah, we done. Yeah, that's all the rapid. That was pretty fast, actually. That was one of the faster ones.
That might be the most rapid fire yeah. we've had.
Look at that. Rapid
start
as
keeping
come.
Track of how long they take.
Right.
Yeah, they're never actually rapid.
Right. There's nothing there's nothing rapid about these funny. Rapid fires.
Well, good job. Dude. That was impressive. Almost you, as impressive as the mayonnaise thing with the broom, but
you never know what I'll
yeah, you,
what we'll come up with, right. man. That was the only thing that we didn't really put on the, you know, a big influence of mine is Charlie Daniels and I guess the song Live With That, you know, it's kind of got a little bit of a rapping feel to it, but it's more, if you think of old Charlie Daniels though, man, like, you know, he was kind of hip hop before hip hop was hip hop, you know what I mean? You listen to some of his old songs, like listen to Every Time I See Him by Charlie Daniels Band. He's like, thanks, he's a tough guy, super fly, stay high, sleeping in the valley in the middle of the night. Like, okay, I see you, Charlie Daniels. Yeah, you go listen to some
you
of that stuff.
You cover that one.
We do a little bit, yeah. And sounds like Trudy, you nice. Know what I'm saying? They've got a lot of... They got
yeah,
a,
Trudy.
Yep. Got a good rap to them.
Absolutely. I don't know, man. We pretty much got through everything, I think, unless, like you said, unless you have any kind of wild questions for us or anything, or I don't know.
Oh, man, who's the coolest guest that you guys have had on so far?
Well, you, of course.
Josh Merritt.
Oh, my man. That was a setup question.
Yeah. Each one progressively cooler than the last.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I like it, man. I was hoping for that answer because I knew you wouldn't pick one.
No.
Why would you? No, I love y'all's podcast, man. It's been really cool. Each interview is really cool. I thought the conversations went really cool places and got to know some stuff about everybody you guys have had on, man. It's neat.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's kind of the goal.
That's the point.
We like to give everybody a chance to get to know these people who make this fucking awesome music. And I mean, a lot of the time, it's fun to make it kind of fun for you guys too, coming on a podcast. It's not just a boring old interview where we're going to sit there and ask you really monotonous, boring, dry stuff.
For sure. No, for sure, man. For sure. I appreciate it. It's been nice. Like I said, I've done several, but and I love the format of a podcast way better than like a radio station or something like that, man. I mean, those places are cool and have their place too, you know what I mean? But it's just the relaxed environment from not only doing podcasts but watching podcasts, man. It's really cool to get to see somebody kind of get to relax and be in their element a little bit more, you know.
For sure. Yeah. Right. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Make it up.
Yeah, for sure.
What got you guys into podcasting? You have to catch me up on that. I'm sure your listeners know, but
Mike and I both just kind of have Twitter accounts. Had Twitter accounts that we were just kind of promoting music on and whatnot, and we had never really, I mean, we'd talked a time or two, but never really, you know, we're best buddies or nothing. And then a mutual follower kind of told us that we should start a podcast, and so we FaceTimed a couple times, figured out what we were going to do, and we were just like, all right, fuck it, let's do it.
That's awesome, man. It really is.
Now here we are.
It's cool, man, that the technology allows it, because you two are far away from each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, what, 14, 16, 18 hours? I don't even know. It's undrivable.
Something like awesome, that. Man. Several hours.
20?
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, a ways.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's pretty cool.
I guess we should plug our mutual follower here, who officially as of today is joining our team in Poor Rambler. Yeah. We're having a segment on our new website called Rambler's Corner, and it's gonna be great. So, Rambler's officially a part of the operation.
Oh wow, that's exciting.
Go check out his Twitter for all your hot takes.
Yeah, he's gonna have our hot takes.
He's okay, the hot cool, take man. King.
I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait to see him.
speaking of Twitter, do you want to plug? I know you have Twitter and a website. I know the website's just joshmerritt.com, I'm pretty sure. But
yeah,
if you want to plug your
it.
Socials and all that too. Where people
man.
Can find you.
I'm on Facebook, of course. It's just Josh Merritt, and then it's the Josh Merritt under Instagram and Twitter. So I get a lot of shit for that one, the Josh Merritt. It wasn't out of
it's like the Ohio State.
It wasn't out of conceitedness. I just couldn't find a Twitter handle that wasn't something ridiculous. wasn't something ridiculous, man. So yeah. That one worked.
That's funny.
Yeah, nobody believes that, but it's the truth.
I feel you.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what we had to do for our website. We had to go hippiesandcowboys.com wasn't available, so we're now the hippiesandcowboys.com.
Yeah, yeah. It works, man. So.
Sorry.
There's a shameless plug for our own new website. I mean,
it'll
be running by the time this is out. So.
Oh, right on, man.
I guess you guys can check that out too while you're browsing. But yeah, man, dude, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you guys for having me, man. It really does mean a lot. I love doing this kind of stuff, so it was my pleasure.
That's great.
Ours
thanks,
too.
Man.
Yeah, I guess. Well, we're gonna play the high. You've mentioned it a couple of times throughout the episode, and we'll take it out on that one. So yeah, if you want to talk about the high, we can do that, and then you can get on your way.
For sure, man. Yeah, I wrote the high is about the character in the high. I guess it was a mixture of. My mom, my Uncle Gary, and my ex-stepdad, my stepdad at the time. But I wrote that song. It's about somebody that's, I feel like when anybody, you know, some people that I know experiment with drugs, and including myself, I have over the years, and you know, they don't get to that dark side of it. You know what I mean? I feel like if you stay on the dragon long enough, you will, but they don't get to that place. But this song is about not somebody that's first starting to use drugs, not somebody that's used them for a while, but somebody that's deep. They're coming into that bad side of it, to where your serotonin's not, your dopamine's not producing anymore. You're starting to fire off kilter, to where you need those drugs to even feel normal. It's somebody that's first starting to feel that, and first starting to feel that dark cloud over their head from using these things. And it starts kind of at the beginning of that stage, and in the middle of it, they're a little further in it, and by the end of it, my granddad used to say, you know, that damn dope, he said, you'll either end up in jail or you'll end up in the ground. And so in this particular scenario, the person ends up going to jail. So it's kind of the beginning, middle, and end of the end of using drugs, if that's not too complicated there. But I wanted to kind of paint a picture of somebody that's really going through it, man. It's really having a hard time, and kind of where it led them. So I was awful proud of that song, man. Yeah, and I hope that it like I said, it's been the one that a lot of people have related to. And like I said, I've got a lot of messages back from people, and that have told me, you know, that song meant something to them, that they were going through the same thing, man. And that that's probably as cool as anything I'll ever do, you know, to know that that song helped somebody that was going through something serious, you know.
That's right. Yeah, well, it's an important message to share, and it's a one hell of a song. So
thank you very much.
Thank you. And yeah, for everybody listening out there, this is The High off of 2020's Reynolds Station. Go to joshmerritt.com and pick that one up. Go give Josh a follow. Thank you all for listening, and for Josh, Mike, and myself, catch you next time.
See you guys. Thank you.
It's time to go for another spin. We said we'd never be back here again, but this itch I've got just won't seem to side. Last time was a bad few days, but now I'm thinking it was just a phase. Cause this feeling now means more to me than God. Drop your kids off to your closest kin, there's a damn good chance you won't see them again. Look them in the eyes and then wave goodbye. Yeah, pretend they don't know that you're leaving for the high. Keep thinking things will be just fine. I take a little to enhance my mind. My face looks bad and my mind just ain't the same. Cause they try to call, but that don't mean a thing to me at all. Cause this poison in the sky makes me think, do or die. Hang the phone up and you're close to kin. Don't give three damns if you see them again. And this leather belt can make a damn good tie. Oh, world flies by just chasing for the high. Now it's upside down. got busted with a half batch found. There ain't no place left for me to lay my head. I'm making out because I'm scared of the ground. My name's been smeared all over this town. And ain't one damn place that'll sell me Sudafed. Drop the kids off one more time, cause the state of Kentucky says you owe them a dime. As my head clears up, I start to sigh. Long day by day, just waiting to die. Waiting around for something new to try. Day in the life, chasing the high.
Josh Merritt bringing you The High. That's the first track off of Reynolds Station. His debut full-length record, and really powerful song with a really powerful message behind it. And we thank Josh for sharing his stories behind these songs on the podcast today. And I hope you all enjoyed the music as much as we do. I hope you'll go give Josh a follow on social media. Tune into Red Barn Radio on Wednesday, the 13th of January, 2021. And most importantly, I hope you'll show Josh some support. If you really like the record, you should go get yourself a physical copy, buy a t-shirt, all that great stuff. You can go to joshmerritt.com. And once you're done showing Josh some love, you can go to thehippiesandcowboys.com. That's thehippiesandcowboys.com. Buy yourself a t-shirt from us. We got some more merch coming down the pipeline, working on some different designs and stuff, and some new articles of clothing and such that we haven't had before, so that's exciting. But as I said in the intro, new website, blogs, vlogs, new store, playlists, podcast, events, all that shit. Go check it out. I spent many hours working on that website, so I hope you all like it. I hope it's not too shitty. I didn't really know what I was doing, to be perfectly honest with you, but I think it looks all right. And again, if you are new or if you haven't done so already, please go give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Join the conversation, join the community, join the family. We look forward to hearing from you. That should do it for today. Once again, the Hippies and Cowboys .com. Give us a follow. Check out the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the Patreon. All that shit. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.